So as our time of formal practice is coming to an end, we pause in the way that allows us this recognition, realizing, and resolve that I've talked about around the gap. And in this pause, we reflect in terms of what we have gratitude for. So gratitude to the Buddha that he underwent this exploration for himself. Gratitude that he chose to share it in such an extended way that it was able to get established as a tradition of teaching. Grateful for all of those who kept the teachings alive through these 2,600 years. Gratitude that we are interested in finding liberation, finding a sense of well-being. Grateful that we have the mental capacity and the heart capacity to be present for these teachings. Grateful that we have the health that allows us to be here. Grateful that we have the resources that allow us to be here. Grateful that we have enough safety in our community, that it's safe to be here. Grateful that there's enough tolerance in our community that allow us to come together in assembly. Grateful for all of those in our lives that support this or at least don't actively attack us about it. Make fun of us or whatever it might be, punish us for having this interest versus their interest. Grateful for those close in. Grateful for how wondrous the teachings are. Grateful that we get to have this close in experience with the teachings, and they're so widely available in the time we're alive. So grateful for our own heart, and that it has been able to be sheltered enough to not be hardened. Grateful for all the volunteers here today. Grateful for Sims. Grateful for the other people who came, because if they didn't come, there would not be an event. So in all this gratitude, sitting in this gratitude, this gladdening of the mind, in appreciation, deep appreciation, happy appreciation, taking delight that this is all true. Real delight. It's not pleasure, it's delight. Just be in this delight. When the mind starts to comment, just move away from, or just silently, not now. Not now. Just be. You can fix the mind for a moment. You can just like willfully hold the mind steady where it is not doing anything other than registering sense experience without doing anything with that sense experience. So just like we'll do this as a couple of rounds for 20 seconds or something. Just, okay, for now, stop the mind. Let go of that much will. See if the mind can just stop without that much imposition of willpower. And then once again, just stop the mind. No thoughts. Just close the door and hold it steadily closed. And let that go and just be. So when we are stopping the mind, we're not holding our breath. We're just saying no right now. And it's gentle, it's a caring no for the benefit. We're just being. Can be a lot of, like the morning meditation, that second meditation of knowing, this just being. That knowing fades into just being, it empties out into just being. So knowing without content is part of just being. So in the course of our day, we can just be for just a couple of minutes or just 30 seconds. We can just be. We just stop. And I'd make these hand gestures. You can make a hand gesture if that. It's like a mudra. So this is its own form of a mudra. Just be. So I energetically organize internally. Without thinking about it, I just organize to just be. I don't really have it's only afterwards I think about it and all these things come up, but you can just stop. So I'd like just for two or three comments on what it was like for the walking and just being. I want to know so I can learn.
It's really interesting because, at least for me personally, what normally would have come up was like shame or, you know, like, what are these crazy people doing walking in this courtyard? Because people were just spilling in and, you know, in the course of that. But in the practice of just being, I was able to not come.
That's beautiful.
Which was amazing. I'm actually getting, I wasn't emotional at the time, but it's like, wow, that's huge for me. I mean, anyway.
That is huge.
And so I stayed out there and just, you know, kind of maybe tried to move, maybe not into the flow of traffic, but not out of a sense of shame, more just like I wanted.
Being courteous.
Yeah. For them to be able to, you know, not like, who are these women?
So I, at my age in life, I will go to meetings and not say a word. I am there as support. If they want something from me, somebody will ask me. But I may go to that same organization, three meetings, and not have said a word in three meetings. Despite having been a leader for 40-some years, well, 50-some years now. And I'm just, what am I doing? I'm just being. I'm just there, and I'm just. If the conversation leads some way where I go, okay, now is that, what would I do about that or something? I will then reflect. But a lot of the time, I'm just there. My beingness is the support that I'm willing to say that your leadership in this organization is important enough that I'll just sit here in support of you. That is my contribution without ever bringing any attention to that's what I'm doing. I would say most of the people never notice that I don't speak, and I don't need them to. I learned this from Ajahn Amaro. He would come to these meetings, and if nobody asked him anything, he would not speak. And of course, then I have had to ask him things because I wanted him to speak and get his wisdom in the room. But I really learned. I would watch him, and I would feel that vibe, and I would attune my vibe to that vibe, you know. And so we can just be in a lot of situations. And it is holding the center, like you were holding the center. It was a nicer place for them to be walking through because you were just being. Someone else? This was the hardest of the three that I gave you as exercises. So.
I was also out in the courtyard and struck by engaging with each other, and it gave me a lot of joy because they're singing Bach for one thing, and it just felt like such a celebration. But it also felt like this space holds us all in a really nice way. So normally I too would probably feel a little bit awkward in that slow walking posture, but it just felt really nice. The other thing I noticed was just briefly, as I was walking to the courtyard and I was trying to just be, I had this sense of shedding everything that came into my mind and into my body. It shed behind me almost like like a comet. It wasn't there very briefly, and I thought, this is nice.
Now that is nice. Did anyone go into total rebellion? That will share it with us. Will you share it? No, you don't want to share it.
I wouldn't say it was total rebellion, but so I was walking on the trail, and for me, it was more constantly bringing myself back to the presence that my mind wanted to wander. You know, something would come up and I would just gently remind myself to be in the present moment. And I really felt like it was just no different than what I try to do every day. And that's hard, just constantly being in the present. And I focused on my breath in and out of my nose. You know, I mean, there's a certain element when you feel like you're into it that it's just kind of boring. And I think Sims has been discussing that a little bit. I'm like, okay, yeah, my mind isn't interfering, nothing's interfering, but it's kind of boring right now. And so at times I just feel like I have to grapple with that. But at the same time, that does feel good. and there's a way about it that does feel right. I think it just takes time studying.
Yeah. So when we're out in the world, we take little respites by just being. But in the world, we have a lot of transactions that we have to do. And so it's appropriate to engage in skillful ways and be very clear in what our goals are and that make sure we're bringing our intentions and understanding the situation. So it's engaging in the complexity of life is okay. But if we're compellingly engaged, there's not any freedom in that. So can we take a respite? Can we stop just now? And those that have been to Cloud Mountain now will talk about the three-second stop, the three-second pause, or interrupt. I call it an interrupt a lot. Anyway, three-second interrupt or pause, 30-second, 3-minute, where we stop and we're just being. And then when we let what comes back in is not necessarily picking up our task again. It may be like, oh boy, I'm really tired, or this has been a long day, or oh, you know, I was carrying this and didn't notice. You don't know what's going to show up. You're not just jumping back to what your tasking was when you come out of just being. You're available for what those parts of you that haven't gotten to be expressed, to let them, they'll let you know if you're being available to let them, for them to let you know. Track that. So I really encourage this sense of just being. And when we're home at night, when we get to our home, we could maybe just take 5 minutes. But when this isn't formal sitting, this is, you just walk a little bit, like arriving, and then sit down and just be. So you're using the walking for the arriving, and then you just sit and just be. And it's just for a minute or two, but or three or five would be fantastic. So, but you're like, that's a whole different software program for the brain, right? Different app or whatever word it would be. I don't have my right analogies. So I just encourage that. Any last one? Yes.
So I don't know if you call this rebellion, I guess you do. I went on a path in the woods, and I went on a path in the woods, and I didn't pay attention like I had in the other two exercises to slow walking.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So thanks to all of you for participating in these. Just for the traditionalists, these were exercises utilizing the walking practice. This was not the traditional walking practice because you get lots of instruction in that. So but just to say that I honor, and most of the time what I do myself is the traditional walking practice, but this was a chance for us to learn together. So now we're going to just do a little metta together for 1 minute, and then there'll be some announcements, I assume, at the end about closing. So again, just come for just a second to just be. And now we're going to offer loving kindness to each other, and we'll do so in a call and response. So I'll say one of the four phrases out loud, and then ask that you repeat it out loud with some vigor, with some vitality. And then we'll go to the next one, and the next one, and the last one, and then I'll do a quick dedication of merit. May you be safe from internal and external harm.
May you be safe from internal and external harm.
May you have a calm, clear mind and a peaceful, loving heart.
May you have a calm, clear mind and a peaceful, loving heart.
May you be physically strong, healthy, and vital. May you experience love, joy, wonder, and wisdom in this life, just as it is. May you experience love, joy, wonder, and wisdom in this life, just as it is. As our day of practice comes to an end, we've reflected in gratitude. We have offered metta to our community, and now we offer any merit that may have arisen from our practice to be of benefit to all beings, to be a benefit to ourselves and our unfolding, to be a benefit of our friends and our loved ones, our family, to be a benefit to everyone with whom we come in contact, to be a benefit to everyone with whom they come in contact in ways obvious and hidden. We offer this sharing of the blessings without demand, without discrimination, without preference, without any view. May our practice be of benefit to all beings. May all beings find the way to the path that leads to the end of suffering. Thank you, thank you.